experienced both adversity and prosperity while in Egypt. He eventually became prime minister in Egypt as a result of God enabling him to correctly interpret Pharaoh's dreams about 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And during the second year of the famine, Joseph's brothers were sent down by their father to Egypt, and on the second occasion that they came down, he revealed himself to his brothers. After a joyful reunion, he then invited his father, his brothers, and all their families to move down to Egypt because the famine was going to last at least another 5 years. And so I want us to read about Jacob's move to Egypt, which is contained in Genesis chapters 46 and 47. But for the sake of time, I'm going to read only selected portions from these two chapters. I'm going to read chapter 46, verses 1 through 7, and then chapter 46, beginning at the end of verse 27, and going through chapter 47, verse 12, and then dropping down to verse 27 through the end of chapter 47. So I invite you to keep your Bibles open so that you can follow the entire story. And I invite you to stand as I read to you now from God's Word. Chapter 46, beginning at verse 1. So Israel, which is Jacob's covenantal name, took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in visions of the night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make you into a great nation. I myself will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also bring you up again, and Joseph's hand shall close your eyes." Then Jacob set out from Beersheba. The sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, their little ones, and their wives, and the wagons that Pharaoh had sent to carry him. They also took their livestock and their goods, which they had gained in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his offspring with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters. All his offspring he brought with him into Egypt. And then dropping down to the end of verse 27 in chapter 46. All the persons of the house of Jacob who came into Egypt were 70. He had sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to show the way before him in Goshen, and they came into the land of Goshen. Then Joseph prepared his chariots and went up to meet Israel, his father, in Goshen. He presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Israel said to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen your face and know that you are still alive." Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, "I will go up and tell Pharaoh and will say to him, 'My brothers and my father's household who were in the land of Canaan have come to me, and the men are shepherds, for they have been keepers of livestock. And they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. When Pharaoh calls you and says, "What is your occupation?" you shall say, "Your servants have been keepers of livestock from our youth even until now, both we and our fathers, in order that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians." So Joseph went in and told Pharaoh, "My father and my brothers, with their flocks and herds and all that they possess, have come from the land of Canaan. They are now in the land of Goshen." And from among his brothers he took 5 men and presented them to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to his brothers, "What is your occupation?" And they said to Pharaoh, "Your servants are shepherds, as our fathers were." They said to Pharaoh, "We have come to sojourn in the land, for there is no pasture for your servants' flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. And now please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best of the land, Let them settle in the land of Goshen. And if you know any able men among them, put them in charge of my livestock. Then Joseph brought in Jacob his father and stood him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, how many are the days of the years of your life? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my sojourning are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their sojourning. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from the presence of Pharaoh. Then Joseph settled his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph provided for his father, his brothers, and all his father's household with food, according to the number of their dependents. And then dropping down to verse 27 of chapter 47. Thus Israel settled in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen, and they gained possessions in it, and were fruitful, and multiplied greatly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the days of Jacob, the years of his life, were 147 years. And when the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, put your hand under my thigh and promise to deal kindly and truly with me. Do not bury me in Egypt, but let me lie with my fathers. Carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. He answered, I will do as you have said. And he said, swear to me. And he swore to him. Then Israel bowed himself upon the head of his bed. Just so far in the word of our God. Father, we thank you for your word. As we look at this portion of scripture now, guide us in our understanding of it and the application of it to our own lives. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. A young American engineer was sent to Ireland by his company to work in a new electronics plant. It was a 2-year assignment that he had accepted because it would enable him to earn enough money to marry his longtime girlfriend. She had a job near her home in Tennessee, and their plan was to pool their resources together and put a down payment on a house when he returned. They corresponded often, but as the lonely weeks went by, she began expressing some doubts that he was being true to her, exposed as he was to the lovely Irish girls. The young engineer wrote back that he was paying no attention to the local girls. However, I admit, he wrote, that sometimes I am tempted, but I fight it, and I'm keeping myself for you. In the next mail, the engineer received a package. It contained a note from his girl and a harmonica. I'm sending this gift to you, she wrote, so you can learn to play it and have something to take your mind off those girls. The engineer replied, thank you for the harmonica. I'm practicing on it every night while I am thinking of you. At the end of his 2-year stint, the engineer was transferred back to company headquarters in the United States. He took the first plane to Tennessee to be reunited with his girl. And the whole family was with her. But as he rushed up to embrace her, she held up a restraining hand and said sternly, just hold on there a bit, Billy boy. Before any serious kissing and hugging gets started here, let me hear you play that harmonica. Now, Billy Boy and his girlfriend had been apart for 2 years, and they had been in touch with each other during that time. Joseph and his father, Jacob, had been apart for 22 years, and they had had no contact with each other during those 22 years. In fact, Jacob thought that his son Joseph was dead, having been devoured by a fierce animal. And so when Jacob learned that Joseph was, in fact, still alive. He said, Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. And so Jacob's move to Egypt in Genesis chapters 46 and 47 teaches us that in accordance with his promise, God goes with his people wherever they go. In order to flesh this out, I want to use a very simple outline. First, I want to look at Jacob's trip to Egypt, and then second, Jacob's time in Egypt. So let's begin first by looking at Jacob's trip to Egypt. And the first thing I want us to see is the promise of God. In Genesis chapter 46, verse 1, we read, "So Israel," that is Jacob, "took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba," which is on the southern border of the promised land. Jacob was in Hebron and he journeyed south to Beersheba and he stopped there and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. Many decades earlier, when Jacob's father Isaac was at Beersheba, God had appeared to him at night and said, "I am the God of Abraham, your father. Fear not, for I am with you and will bless you and multiply your offspring for my servant Abraham's sake." And so in response, Isaac built an altar there in Beersheba. Now, as Jacob was about to leave the promised land, he stopped and offered sacrifices to God the Father, to the God of his father, Isaac, perhaps even on the very same altar. That night, God spoke to Israel, which, as I said earlier, is Jacob's covenantal name that was given to him by God. God spoke to him in visions of the night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And Jacob said, "Here I am." God said, "I am God and the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make you into a great nation. I myself will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also bring you up again, and Joseph's hand shall close your eyes." Though he was excited to see his long-lost son Joseph, Jacob was afraid to go down to Egypt. God told him not to be afraid. God would make him into a great nation. He would fulfill the promise he made to Abraham and to Isaac before him. Moreover, God would go down with him to Egypt. And commentator Sidney Gray Donner says this: "This was a revolutionary idea in that culture. People at that time believed in local deities who had power only in a certain country, but beyond its border, they were powerless. Israel's God, however, is the sovereign God who controls the whole world. Earlier, he went with Abram and Sarah from Haran in Mesopotamia to Canaan. He went with Jacob from Canaan to his uncle Laban in Haran and came back to Canaan again. Regional borders do not apply to Israel's God." That's why he can say, "I myself will go down with you to Egypt." Finally, God said that Joseph's hand would close Jacob's eyes. God promised Jacob that he would see his long-lost son Joseph again. And apparently in Jewish culture, the oldest son or nearest relative would gently close the eyes of the deceased. God assured Jacob that his beloved son Joseph would perform that rite for him. And so, encouraged by the promise of God, Jacob left the promised land on his trip to Egypt. But then I also want you to notice the people of God, not just the promise of God, but also the people of God. Verses 5 through 7 say this: "Then Jacob set out from Beersheba. The sons of Israel carried Jacob their father, their little ones and their wives, and the wagons that Pharaoh had sent to carry him. They also took their livestock and their goods, which they had gained in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his offspring with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, all his offspring he brought with him into Egypt. The thing that Moses wants to emphasize here in this section of scripture is that Jacob took all his offspring with him to Egypt. No one remained in the promised land. Jacob vacated the promised land entirely as he went down to Egypt. And to underscore this point, Moses listed the names of all of Jacob's offspring who went down to Egypt. He listed them all so that the later generations could look at the names and they couldn't say, oh, by the way, Jim didn't go down to Egypt. What happened to Jim? No, all the names were there. And so verse 27 at the end summarized the total. All the persons of the house of Jacob who came into Egypt were 70. Interestingly, Genesis chapter 10 lists 70 descendants, leading one commentator to say 70 is the full, complete number of God's people. Just as the 70 nations in Genesis chapter 10 represents all the descendants of Adam, so now the 70 sons represent all the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the sons of Israel. The point is, all the people of God moved down to Egypt. Not one of God's people was left in the promised land. The entire covenant nation moved down to Egypt. Well, let's now look at Jacob's time in Egypt. Jacob's trip from Hebron to Beersheba down to Goshen took several weeks, and much took place once Jacob and his family arrived in Egypt. First, I want us to look at the meetings that took place, and there were two meetings. The first meeting was between Jacob and Joseph. And verse 28 and 29 in Genesis chapter 46 says that Jacob sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to show the way before him in Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. Then Joseph prepared his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, in Goshen. He presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. After a 22-year separation, Jacob and Joseph had a very emotional reunion. And I can see the other 69 family members standing around, weeping as well, as they watched with joy this emotional reunion taking place. Eventually, Jacob composed himself and said to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen your face and know that you are still alive." Jacob's aching heart had been healed at the wonderful sight of his long-lost son, and he felt that he could now die knowing that he no longer had unanswered questions about his beloved son Joseph's circumstances. Joseph then talked to his family about their upcoming meeting with Pharaoh. By now, Joseph was a very seasoned statesman, and he rehearsed with the family what they were to say in order to live as shepherds in the land of Goshen, the best of the land in Egypt on its northeastern border. A second meeting was then between Jacob and Pharaoh. Joseph first went in and spoke to Pharaoh. He told him that his father and his family had arrived. And then five of Joseph's brothers were presented to Pharaoh. They said that they were shepherds and requested to live in Goshen. And Pharaoh agreed to their request to settle in Goshen and invited that any who wished to do so could take care of his own livestock, basically offering them a royal appointment to serve as shepherds for him. And then Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and stood him before Pharaoh. But to everyone's surprise, instead of Jacob bowing low before Pharaoh, Jacob blessed Pharaoh. In fact, Jacob blessed Pharaoh twice, as we read in verse 10 that Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from the presence of Pharaoh. My Old Testament professor, Dr. John Salehammer, said that the importance of Jacob blessing Pharaoh can be seen from the fact that it is mentioned twice. Lying behind such an emphasis in the narrative was God's promise to Abraham that he would bless those who bless the offspring of Abraham. And this passage shows that in Joseph and Jacob, the promise to Abraham was being fulfilled with the nations round about them. Well, that's so much for the meetings. Now I want us to look at the ministry that took place during Jacob's time, early time in Egypt. First, there was the provision. Joseph made sure that his family had all the food that they needed. And so in Genesis chapter 47, verses 11 and 12, we read, "Then Joseph settled his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his father's household with food, according to the number of their dependents." And even though there was a famine in the land, and actually not just Egypt, but the surrounding region as well, including Canaan, God was taking care of all the people through the ministry of Joseph. God was with his people. Joseph, however, not only took care of his family, he also took care of the Egyptians as well. Verse 13 says, "Now there was no food in all the land, for the famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished by reason of the famine. Because the famine was so severe, over the next few years, the Egyptians eventually sold all their possessions, all their lands, all their livestock, and even themselves to Pharaoh in order not to die of starvation." And in verses 23 and 24, Joseph said to the people, "Behold, I have this day bought you and your land for Pharaoh. Now, here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land. And at the harvest you shall give a fifth to Pharaoh, and four-fifths shall be your own, as seed for the field, and as food for yourselves and your household, and as food for your little ones." So he's basically saying, this is after they've sold everything, their food, their land, themselves, everything now belongs to Pharaoh. And Joseph said, yes, seed for you, when you plant it, you need to give 20%, one-fifth of that back to Pharaoh, and you may keep 80% for yourselves. Now, at first glance, a 20% tax may seem harsh. However, what I understand from my reading, in the ancient Near East at that time, the usual tax was 40% at the time. In some places, even 60% was levied upon the people. Furthermore, these Egyptians seemed delighted with Joseph because they said in verse 25, "You have saved our lives. May it please my Lord, we will be servants to Pharaoh." They're delighted because they're not going to die. And they were happy to give 20% back, which was actually less than the surrounding region. Joseph was a hero to these people. And then second, look at the promise. In verse 28, "And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. And so the days of Jacob, the years of his life, were 147 years. Now, interestingly, and if you remember from previous messages, Jacob lived with Joseph the same number of years, 17, in the land of Egypt, that Joseph lived with Jacob in the land of Hebron. Moses closed off this narrative with Joseph promising Jacob that he would not bury his father Jacob in Egypt. Jacob wanted to be buried back with his forefathers in the promised land, and Joseph promised that he would do as his father Jacob requested. So as we've looked at Jacob's move to Egypt in Genesis 46 and 47, what do we learn? Let us be assured that our sovereign God also goes with us wherever we go. God was present with Jacob and his entire family when they went down to Egypt. And he was present with them when he brought them back out of Egypt to the promised land, although that was centuries later. Today, God is present in Jesus Christ with his children wherever we go. You may remember that Jesus said to his disciples after his resurrection in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." If you are a Christian, that promise is for you. If you go to Bogota, Colombia, God is with you. If you go to Suitcase City, God is with you. If you go to the grocery store, God is with you. If you go to hospice, God is with you. If you are a Christian, God is with you wherever you go. However, the fact that God is with you wherever you go does not mean that you will always prosper. God's presence with Jacob did not mean an end to his hardship. He eventually did die. God's presence with the nation of Israel did not prevent great affliction many years later when a Pharaoh arose who did not know who Joseph was. However, God is with his people, even in their hardships, their trials, their sicknesses, and their sufferings. The Apostle Paul asked a wonderful question: who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? And then he answers, he says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Dear Christian, that is our hope and our confidence as well. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank you for this narrative about the life of Jacob and how you promised him in a vision at the night that you would go with him. And centuries later, the Lord Jesus, after his resurrection, said to his disciples that he would be with them to the very end of the age. I pray that you would help every believer in this room today to believe that you are with us wherever we go. May we not ever doubt that. And if Satan would try to sow seeds of doubt in our mind, help us to go back to your word and rest on the truth of your word, that you are with your people wherever we go. And if there are those here today who are not Christians, would you grant those persons the gift of faith and repentance so that they too may be assured that you will be with them wherever they go as well. I pray all of these things then in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing as our closing song.